Hi, I'm Tim Marshall. Welcome to R&B Showcase Live. We got a great show for you here today, but first, I want to introduce my co-host to you today. We've got Julian Seward from WPPM in Philadelphia, 106.5 FM. Julian.
It's good to be here.
Good to have you with us, man. Tell us about your show, man.
It's called My Bittersweet Philosophy. It's my thoughts and one of my poetry pieces to a playlist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a good thing. Show. And the man that knows it all in terms of the dates and times, the facts, the figures, we call him the music historian. Mr. Kevin White is joining us here today. Kevin, what's happening?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
And from the number one radio station in Philadelphia, the hottest morning show. But he's the video producer, and he's also our video producer and co-host here today. Kyle Mack is joining us. What's happening, Kyle?
What's up, Tim?
What's up?
I don't know why I'm yelling at you. I don't know why I do that. I'm so excited about today's guest.
Oh, yeah. Man, we got a great guest for you today. They were just inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's a longtime member of the group. He's a dynamic performer. Going to welcome to the show Jesse Peck of the Spinners. Give Jesse a nice round of applause.
Hey, Jesse.
What's up, man? Thanks for having me on, guys. It's great to be here. Good to be back.
It's good to have you with us, man. You know, and when I think about this, it takes me back to the time when I first met Pervis Jackson, the original bass singer from the Spinners. And Pervis said to me, you know, you want to do this interview. Here's my advice to you. You don't need no pens and pencils and notes. Just sit down and talk.
So
today,
we're
going to just sit down and we're going to talk and have a conversation with the bass man himself, Mr. Jesse Peck. So
right on.
Thanks for being with us here today, man.
Yeah, you're right, man. We don't need no prep. We're not going over any, what the questions are going to be and all that. Yeah. Don't ask this, but you can't ask that. Right. We're just going to relax. Me and my friends, you guys are my friends, and we're just kicking it, man.
You just blew up all of Julian's stuff. Julian has 37,000 questions written out.
Yes,
that was inside information that nobody needs to know, man. I make it seem natural, but I'll be all right.
But I missed that. He said Julian now has what?
Julian has 37,000 questions he has curated to ask you. So y'all just blew it up.
Would not have
bring
known.
Bring it on, Julius. Bring it on, bro.
Go ahead, Julian. You got a question for Jesse?
What's your social security number?
Let's make it unnatural as possible.
But congratulations for your induction, the Spinners induction to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, man. That's a great honor for you guys.
Thank you. Yeah, it truly is. It truly is. None of us more deserving who are walking on God's green earth right now than Mr. Henry Fambro, the last and original founding member of the original Spinners. We were very happy to see him get his flowers while he's alive, as they say. It is something we've waited for and toiled over for a bit. We were nominated for 4 years total. Mm-hmm. The first 3 years we were nominated, we obviously did not get in. But finally, this fourth year, with lots of help from our fans, friends, and family, everyone who went in and voted. There are a lot of folks that did a lot to help us get in. So we're thankful for that. It made Henry so very, very happy. It was great to see him in his moment. So again, we're very excited. And then turning around and doing the Kennedy honors, we were at the White House where the Spinners got to meet with the president once again, this time with me, on board.
Right.
That was the White House, the Kennedy honors, all that being televised. It was wonderful. We had a great time doing that, too.
You guys performed. Then came you. What was it like performing that on stage?
Yeah. We got to honor Dionne Warwick. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as you all know, she sang the hit with the Spinners, Then Came You, back in the day. So what an experience seeing her sitting, in the balcony with the other honorees and just watching us, perform. Her big hit song, getting the nod of approval from her. That was incredible.
That was the number one record, too, I think, Then Came You, wasn't it, Kevin? That was number one. I'm pretty sure.
Definitely number one R&B.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Was. Might be number one pop, too, I think. I believe so. But that must have been a great honor. So what did you think of New Edition's tribute to the Spinners at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Strangely enough, I haven't seen that yet.
You didn't see it yet?
We were not at the ceremony. We were in Seattle. Doing a week trip at Demetrius Jazz Alley. We had a prior commitment, so we all could not be there. And I could say more, but I'm gonna leave it at that. I was gonna say we couldn't be there, but we wanted to be there.
Okay.
But the most important thing is that Henry Fambro was there.
John
Edwards was there. Yes. You know, I wish GC Cameron had been there. Yes. I don't know why he wasn't. But
that would have been great to have GC, you know.
Yeah, every spinner before me is a greater spinner than I, for sure. Mm-hmm. So I have respect for all the guys. So, but again, hats off to them all. And again, you guys did it. And the music you made, the history just continues to resonate. Mm-hmm. It continues to echo and please fans and be acknowledged. And it's still being used in movies and making folks dance, laugh, cry, all those wonderful things. So thank you guys. Thank you for changing and being the building block, the foundation of the soundtrack for the lives of many people. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being my destiny. I love the spinners. I love being a spinner.
Well, speaking of GC Cameron, what was it like for you to perform at that Motown event with GC Cameron? I think they were being honored by Motown Museum. What was that like for you, Jesse?
Well, you know what? When you're going to meet an original spinner, a hit making spinner, it was the same as when we met John. Well, for me, you're a little, you know, you're hoping it goes well. Mm-hmm. I mean, Henry and Bobby, two original spinners, looked at me and said, "Hey, we want you to come in and pick up where Purvis left off." Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they were in favor of me joining the group. They wanted me there, and I definitely wanted to be there. Mm-hmm. But I hadn't met John Edwards, so when we finally got to meet him, when we did our appearance on the television show Unsung, John was a super nice guy, incredible, wonderful, and very loving person. Now, I was very happy to meet John, and I wanted so badly to be on stage with him, and we got to do that as well and perform. Awesome. So, again, meeting GC, you know, you're not sure what kind of spinner he's going to be, if he's going to be that tough tyrant, and you're not up to par, and on and on and on. And if he says I'm not there, then I'm not there. And I'll appreciate it, and I'll work on whatever, you know, GC tells me to work on to get me to where I should be as a spinner. But GC was totally accepting to us. He was very kind. He's very funny. He's a very funny guy. I can see he and Henry during the Motown experience, you know, bantering back and forth, you know, their jokes, and it was just amazing just to sit there, to be in the room with them and watch those guys. You know, it was incredible. So yeah, GC is a super nice dude, a very nice guy. I'm happy that I got to know him or got to meet him. I hope I get to know him in the future.
For a lot of folks who don't know, Jesse has had and currently has, like, you have two careers, dude. You've had your life as an entertainer, but a lot of people might not know that you also had a long career in radio as well. And you're a voiceover artist, so your voice is an instrument in two different fashions, singing and speaking and stuff like that. So what came first? What came first for you? Were you an entertainer as a vocalist first, or as a voiceover radio guy first?
I was an entertainer in my heart, in my soul, and in my mind long before the notion of radio ever crossed my mind. Albeit the seed was planted in radio when I saw my mother, God rest her soul, Linda Peck, on the radio at a station in Detroit, WGPR. Dad and I went to meet with her and have lunch, and I got to see her. I saw her in the booth. I'll never forget seeing my mother behind the glass and the microphone and all that. It was quite an experience. It was. That was my first motivation to radio. But before then, we were always singing in the house. We were a singing family, though everyone couldn't sing. But we enjoyed the music. Dad was bringing home. He's working at Ford Motor Company, and every Friday before he came home, stopped by Peach's record store. He grabbed the latest whatever, or sometimes it was some old school. He'd bring it home, and we would just jam. We would just jam all weekend long. Dad did, until Mom was like, "Come upstairs, Sonny, time to go to bed." His name was Sonny Peck. I was always doing that. My first time performing, I was in the third grade, Coolidge Elementary School, third grade. So that's what I was doing first. That's what I wanted to do before radio came to mind. But we're always listening to the radio, and you're hearing the DJs. And by the time my voice dropped and I can no longer sing the high notes in the Prince tunes, and folks are telling me, you know, you, you should think about radio. Radio. I'm like, wow, you know, I did kind of like the idea, and I thought about it and toyed with the idea over the years. But to answer your question, long story long,
How old were you when you first started opening up for like the OJs and Millie Jackson? We'll put you,
Julius. Well, I was, I was in high school. Okay. Check you out, bro. I did your homework. I was in high school and I was performing like 11th and 12th grade. I was in a group called Tony Talley and the Beaded Crew. That was in the days when we were popping and locking and wave and all that kind of stuff. And Tony had the Michael Jackson thing going on. And yeah, we were doing like on school nights, we were performing in theaters in Detroit. And I remember we opened up for the OJs, Millie Jackson, the Manhattans, you know, groups of that caliber. You know, back then they were, now it's old school. Back then it wasn't so old school. Yeah. It was a little current more current. It was great to be a part of that. But yeah, I was performing professionally even back in those days in high school before I even, you know, graduated, before I even started my radio career. And shouts out to Specs Hour Broadcasting School, which no longer exists, but all the alum who attended Specs, RTV 688, what's happening, y'all? Love you guys.
So then how you make the transition? How did you become a member of the Spinners, Jesse? How did you get into this group? World-class group. How did you become a member?
Every question you ask, you guys are asking requires like a movie-like answer.
That's okay.
That's all right, brother. We're here for you. Tell your story.
How did I make the transition from radio to... Okay. Well, there were a few steps in between there. And to sum it up, I would just say life happened in between there. But while doing radio, the last station I worked at was WGPR in Detroit. Where I first saw my mom. I never thought about that. The last radio station I worked at was the first radio station I ever walked into and where I also saw my mother.
Awesome.
Okay, excuse me. Almost forgot the question. How did I make the transition?
Sorry, brother.
That was heavy. Yeah. That was heavy. How did I make the transition? From there, while on the radio, I got married. I also started working in mortgages at the same time. Mind you, I never wanted to be the guy who comes home in the station wagon and the white picket fence, you know, and all that, wearing, you know, khakis and, you know, the polo shirt. You know, I never wanted to be that guy.
You just described Kevin's wardrobe Monday through Friday.
My old wardrobe.
Right. Sorry, Kevin, no offense, but
no, man, I'm like you. I had to give it up.
Yeah. I never wanted to be the regular guy. That was my nightmare actually, but somehow I was pulled into that realm, into that world. And I got to the point where I had to, let radio go and stick to doing mortgages because, you know, again, now you're a married man and family. And of course that comes first. I have to do what I think, not what I think will propel me into the future. Like my wedding ring. Isn't that cool?
Congratulations.
We'll get to that. I've been waiting to do gestures with my, you know, but it was a matter of question of, there was what I thought and what I hoped would excel me and what was more for the sure. A responsible thing to do. So bye-bye radio. Now I am a mortgage guy, and not knowing that we were right at the beginning of the foreclosure boom. I was in that company that had the issues with their stocks, or without going into all the details, but they were talking about it on 2020 CNN and whatnot, and we got shut down. And then I'm at Ford Motor Company. Thank you, Rory Gamble, for giving me a break and getting me in there where my father worked when he was alive. And the factory wasn't for me. It was not, neither with mortgages. It wasn't, and I'm skipping. I worked in landfills and lots of other places too. I've had quite a few jobs, and no, it's not for me. Really, it's not for any of us. Just some people, and including myself, for a period will accept that because it's stable. You know, on Friday, what your check's going to be. You know, every Friday for the rest of the year, what it will be until you get that raise, if you get that raise. Being self-employed, it's a totally different animal, and it really comes down to you getting out what you put in, and not immediately. It takes some time. But anyway, transition. Ford Motor Company, and I get the call that Pervis Jackson had passed away. And as a bass singer, of course, that's sad to hear. Mm-hmm. And then I get another call from the same person, Henry Williams, a friend of mine in Detroit. He says, I want to get you an audition with the Spinners. He was buddies with Roquel from the Four Tops. Mm. Roki, what's up, dude? And I also reached out to the Spinners management, Nat Burgess, at the time. And between all of that, I got to be in the presence of Henry Fambro, and he recorded my interview. And he and Bobby went over and scrutinized it. I thought it would be, I said, well, Henry, how long will it be before you know? He said, oh, it's just be a couple weeks, 2-3 weeks at the most. We've got to do this quickly, so make sure you're ready, blah, 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 you know, that Hollywood talk. It was all that. I'm excited. I'm like, great. But it really took 3 months. And, you know, I finally got the call from Bobby and Henry after being laid off from Ford Motor Company. You're laid off from time to time, but you know you're coming back. And until then, you take unemployment, blah, blah, blah. You could shout out to Marvin, the automated response network system or whatever. Give me my press one. If you didn't work, press one. You know, I don't know what it's called in your state, you know, but in Michigan, it was Marvin. But this was the permanent layoff, and it was in November. And prior to that, the first month, I was grateful. I was giddy. I was jumping up and down. I'm thanking God, praise you, on and on and on. The second month, I was worried and saying, why is it taking so long? And, you know, you gave me these talents, these buildings. You know, I'm that kid that's whining. You know, when your parents said they're taking you to Wally World or wherever it is you're going, they're taking you. I was already in the car. You know, but I'm fussing and pouting. When are we there? Are we there yet? By the third month, I realized what I was doing and the mistake I was making and not standing on God's promise and not standing on my faith and realizing that I was destined for this. But once I apologized and repented for that, I said, God, I just put my faith in you. And I know that this is for me. There are many others who have auditioned and want this as well. But just I believe in my spirit and my soul. When you tell me that this is for me and that I will be joining the Spinners. And I declared on the stage at Second Ebenezer Church, where I was a member at the time, I was the church announcer at Second Ebenezer. Mm. And there was no one in the church, just me and a few of the tech people. And I sat there, not at the pulpit, no disrespect, but and I just declared on the microphone, I said, I will be the newest member, the next member of the Spinners, you know, and you know, a few of the folks that were in there with me, they shout amen and received it. And that was our private thing. And it actually happened. And part of that transition was researching and getting a better understanding of the man who stood in that position before me, the man who created that spot, the man whose big feet were as big as my feet. So I was able to fit his shoes. But understand, don't just go up in there and put that man uniform on. You don't know nothing about him. You know, don't go to where his mic stand still is. And now you're there. You don't even know anything about the man all you know are the notes. All you know are the words. While waiting for part of the transition, while waiting to get the word, on whether or not I would be in, I went to Purvis's favorite spot. They called it his office, the office. Officially, it was called the locker room. And the locker room is a local bar in 7 Mile, Illinois area in Detroit. Mm-hmm. In the locker room, Purvis is so highly revered to this day that there is a seat at the corner of the bar in the locker room that is Purvis Jackson's seat.
Mm-hmm.
Above that seat, there is a plaque hanging on the wall with a picture of Purvis Jackson. And all around me, whenever I was there, whenever I would stop in there just to sit and wait and listen, there was always someone who would say something about Purvis Jackson. And it was always good. It was always positive. Mm-hmm. He was literally the kind of guy that would give you the shirt off his back.
Mm-hmm.
This incredible person. Mm-hmm. And I realized during that process that he was somebody, and I correct everyone in every interview that's ever said it, I realized that he was someone that could never be replaced, but I could do my best to do his parts the way they expect, the way they're used to hearing, and I can be the best representation of myself. I can be the best man I could possibly be to measure up to who Purvis Jackson was off stage. Mm-hmm. He was a wonderful human being, and I wish I could have known him.
No, I was just listening to you in the timeline you gave. So you joined around December. I'm thinking the first time that I actually saw you perform was just a couple of months after that.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
You were on point. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is that like to kind of step into a role and just know you have to hit the ground running?
Mm-hmm.
From being, and it's a shame that these things don't exist in school anymore. And it's funny that and giving props to where that came from, and I'm going to school, because it's a different story today. But from band class, from La Trope des Arts, Susan Story, drama teacher, you know, from Mr. Croft, from Mr. Butler, Tillis Butler, my vocal teacher, and really just from being home, I practiced at home for hours a day while my friends were outside playing after school. I was in the basement performing concerts. I mean, I'm talking about putting the needle on the start of the album. It plays all the way through. Then you flip it over and go through the entire side. No stops, no interruptions. No, you're not going to go eat dinner now. You got it. You're doing a concert, right? And it was just that serious to me. You know, and guys will clown me today, but I got to keep it real. Mm-hmm. You know, doing mine, I don't care. But like doing my print shows, you know, I put the 1999 album on. That was a double LP.
Ooh, that's about to say.
You know, that was, brother. That was a double LP. And I would do every song in order. You know, as I perform, I have my guitar on. Mm-hmm. You know, I have my boots on. I have my long Prince coat. Mm-hmm. You know, my bandana around my neck. And I just performed. I loved doing it. I loved performing. We had a DJ named Mojo. The Electrifying Mojo. It's unlike any DJ you've ever heard of. He had the city of Detroit and beyond in the palm of his hand, and he had no playlist. And the nights that he would do Prince, the older neighbors, when I was a kid, the neighbors would come out of their porch and bring a chair if they didn't have a chair, and they'd sit because they know I'm about to perform the entire time.
Right.
Electrifying Mojo is playing Prince. And I'm in the street, performing, dancing, doing splits and all that. I mean, moving. You know, too bad I wasn't light skinned with long hair. I'd be making money today as I'd be the world's greatest Prince impersonator. Mm-hmm. I look at some impersonators like whatever. But anyway, it speaks to my commitment to the performance itself. Never will I be on stage just doing my job.
Right.
All right, three more songs and I can get off. Okay, spin, twirl, you know, I never will I do that. Mm-hmm. And the day I begin to feel that way, that's when it's time for me to leave, when it's time for me to quit. But the teachers I mentioned to you, the classes, what I did on my own, These were things that instilled perfection in me. Tony Talley, shout out to you, brother. Mm-hmm. That it was so serious to me. Every chance I got to go on stage, whether it was the talent show every year in school, or opening up, you know, for Millie Jackson or the OJ or the Manhattans, I stared into that spotlight as if it could possibly be the last time I would ever perform. I was a weird kid who on rainy nights, contemplating my future as a teenager, would stand out in the streets. And that was a big deal because my parents were strict. I couldn't be out where street lights went out, where street lights came on.
I remember them days.
Man, my parents was crazy, oh, yeah. Man. I was 13 years old, and y'all gonna shake your head. I'm telling mama, I love you, daddy, I love you too. I'm 13 years old, man. This is how bad my parents were, how good my parents were, how bad my parents were. I'm 13 years old. I got a brand new Huffy bike, dirt bike. I'm riding that bike, man, on the sidewalk, you know. Kids younger than me riding in the street, you know. little girls, hey, Jesse, come ride out here, you know. I'm on the sidewalk with my Huffy, my tough brother. No, that's all right. You go ahead, you know. And that came back to mind because I was looking, I was listening to or watching the video that just broke the internet lately, Cat Williams. You guys know what I'm talking about. You know, he did a lot on that. He spilled a lot. He spilled a lot of tea. And he said he exposed a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But for me, it wasn't about that. For me, it was motivating. Mm-hmm. For me, when that interview was over, even for a guy who's living his dreams, by the time his interview was over, I felt like a lazy bum. Mm-hmm. You know, by the age of 13, this dude embarked and had gone out on his own in life. You know, he had the knowledge that Jesus, as he said, as if I heard correctly, did the same at the age of 13. I didn't know that. You know, I'm looking for that in the Bible. Where do you find that at? You know, I realized that it reminded me that you can never, if you really have a dream, and if you really believe, and if you want to see it come to its fruition, I don't care how young you are. And what you're not able to do yet at your age, I don't care how old you are and how past your prime others may think that you are. I don't care how in the right time, in the right age and frame you are, and you feel like so is everyone else, and how is there room for me to stand out? The key to success is to just not quit, to not give up. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? Well, simply by wanting it so bad. It's all that you do. I still, and it faded for, let me tell you, I'll say it faded for 2-3 weeks at the most in different areas in the last couple of years. But I, for the past 15 years, going to 16, I have dreamt 90% of the time when I dream about being a spinner. I dream about what I'm already doing. Right. I'm not a millionaire yet, but I see it.
There you go.
But I can see it. But never mind the money. I think the fact, I'm telling y'all, that's really true.
I believe.
And I'm dreaming every night about the thing that I'm actually doing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that means, and someone can maybe interpret that for
love,
me.
You love doing what you're doing. That's all. You love doing what you're doing.
I love what, yeah. You know, most nights, yeah. At least 90%, if I'm exaggerating, 80% of my dreams mm-hmm. have something to do with a spinner concert, a mm-hmm. spinner show, something we're mm-hmm. doing, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. What hotel we're in, but I'm on the road with my God. I dream about this, even though I'm doing it. I don't know what that says.
That's either love. That's either love or trauma.
Well, you know, Jesse loved.
I'm kidding.
That's a good point.
Then, well, since I'm smiling, I just have to say it's trauma. It's love. It's what it's like to live and your blessing. And right. when you realize that and then feeling that, that's why all the time I'm always thanking God, thanking my Heavenly Father. Because I have no basketball skills whatsoever. I can't play ball. Ask any of my friends, but I had a better chance as far as the numbers go. I had a better chance of becoming an NBA player than I did of becoming a spinner.
Because that's what I'm thinking to myself.
It's a smaller organization, and there are a whole lot of bass singers out there, a whole lot of them. So why you? Why would it be you? How dare you think? You gotta face it. You gotta want it. You gotta be bold. You gotta go for it. Even if you know you're gonna get knocked down, go anywhere and go just as strong.
That's right.
We're already with a plan of how you're gonna come back from this knockdown. That's how you win. That's how you get it. Mm-hmm. And I'm there's nothing special about me over you, whoever you are watching this interview right now. There's nothing better about me. And in fact, it came to me later in life. Maybe I was a bit more dense, or maybe there were some more things that I had to go through and experience, but I didn't become, I got to do radio for 20 years. I got to do TV. I have my own television show, Flynn After Dark. Shout out to Paul Herring. Mm-hmm. There were things that I did. I worked as a dancer. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Okay, we see that. I was going to ask you how the dancing came to be, because you're a good dancer on stage. We talked about spinning around and doing the splits and all that stuff, man. Where'd that come from?
Where to come? Well, you know,
just do it.
Okay. I came from Detroit. watching the scene. Here were some of my influence in my teen years.
Okay.
First of all, I was watching. There was too much Prince going on in my life.
Yeah.
Every Prince album, every video. I was so good on Prince moves. I would hear the songs a lot of times before I'd see the video, and I make up. I make up moves to go with the music, and then I'd see the Prince video later on, and I'd be doggone if he wasn't doing the same move that I thought I made up myself.
For real?
Wow, we must be able to say that has happened like six or seven times throughout the span of me getting new albums and just dancing freely to it however my body interprets what I'm hearing it through the music. I will come up with whatever. And later on, see him doing the same thing. It's like, wow, which just lets me know, and it's crazy to think that you're on the same wavelength but then again, why not? He was a man. Right, I'm a man.
Person, right?
Yeah. You're just like men that mess up and do dumb things. Mm-hmm. I've done dumb things too. Mm-hmm. Some of the greatest people that we respect and hold up high, they've done some dumb stuff. they've done some things that have taken them down off.
Absolutely.
They've done some stupid stuff. Mm-hmm. In fact, some of them have done some things so foul, so dumb, so idiotic. It made made us feel better about us. Like, wow, now I would never do that. Even I know better.
I know better than do that thing. Right.
Yeah. So the playing field is equal, man. Mm-hmm. Some guys have some things that other guys don't, but everyone has their own thing. Right. You don't have a deep voice like I am. I'm not talking to you, Julius. Mm-hmm. You don't have a deep voice.
He was talking to me.
But you have something else that I don't have. And we can work together and we can benefit from one another, or we can all rise, at our own levels, because there's different times and peaks, for everyone. We're not all going to make it at the same time. Mm-hmm. That's not my story. Mm-hmm. My story is not your story. And so on and so forth. But the key is to hang in there. Don't give up.
Never give up. Right.
Never give up. Henry and Bobby came and got me. Bobby Smith and Henry Favreau came and got me, at a time where it was like, I was hanging off the edge of that cliff, and you feel like, first I had two hands, I thought I was going to be able to pull myself up, but then I got the one and I'm hanging and you feel your fingers slipping off. And, that's when they came and grabbed me and pulled me up, but I kept the faith and kept believing And I knew. When I was at Ford Motor Company, and this is turning into a rant.
Keep going.
This is the last thing I'm saying.
Tell your story, brother. Tell your story.
Well, it's not the last thing I'm going to say.
Well, we know this.
We know it's not going to be the last thing you say.
Yeah. because it's been a while since I've done done an interview, and this stuff just builds up.
Sure. Know? It's all good, brother.
When you're doing interviews, you want to be, this is my chance. If people are going to listen to what I'm saying, then this is my chance to put out, you know, the best and most positive. What did you tell them, folk, when you had a chance to say something to them? I don't know. you better give them something. Mm-hmm. So, first of all, love God. If you don't believe in God, then find out or begin to ponder how you came to be and research that and get close to an understanding of your existence and why you are and what it's all about. Don't spend too much time partying and enjoying and being distracted and miss the real, because there's something after this life. So that's one thing I want to say. I'm tripping, y'all. The other thing, bring me back. Where was I before that? Oh, when you're talking to people, you have to say, to me, I feel like you have to be as empowering as you possibly can. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we will spend this interview with me just, hey, Jesse Faggin, what did you give to people? Did you say anything that could help anybody? So really, they could have just done without. Mm. So besides the entertainment portion of this, besides the fact that I'm Jesse Faggin, I want to make sure that everybody realizes we're all the same.
Yeah.
We can all succeed. We can all be wealthy. We can all have anything that we want in this life.
Yeah.
It is up to you to pursue. Mm-hmm. Johnny's going to get it before you. And Tasha is going to take her maybe a lot longer. And maybe you have some responsibility to help Tasha and anybody else that's coming behind you. You know, what good is living your dream if you're not pulling someone else along, if you're not sharing that, doing something?
Absolutely.
To me, I want y'all to realize this interview today features Jesse Peck from the Spinners. You know, Jesse Peck from the Spinners was at one point a guy who was not a spinner, was a guy who was questioning what's going to happen in his life, who had, you know, bills and issues and, you know, bad marriage and all that other kind of stuff going on. So, I mean, in other words, just like a lot of you. So this success came late in life, but had I given up, had I said, whatever, if I was angry with God or stopped believing in myself or in dreams or anything of the sort, then I would still be back there where I was. In fact, I might not even be alive. Mm. But instead, I'm here and I get to enjoy the better parts of life. I get to see more of the earth that God has given us. I get to meet more of his people. And there are a lot of nice and wonderful people out there.
Well, you show such great love for your fans, though, Jesse. That's one thing you do. You go out and you see the fans after the show, and that's a great thing that you do. You know, see the people. You know,
please. How could you not? You got thousands of folks. you got thousands of folks cheering for you every time a song ends, and if they see you after the show, all they want to do is love you. All they want to do is tell you how much they appreciate you. All they want to do is, you know, is thank you. You know, and it's in that moment when you can help a lot of people. It's in that moment where I meet a person who is happy and, you know, they're pointing me at someone else. Hey, we brought her out down here. She's in a wheelchair, this, that, and the other. No. Or so-and-so has cancer. You know, we look at this from a worldly perspective, but there are a lot of opportunities where I personally get to pray with people and get to pray for people. And I never pass that up.
Well, listen, I'm going to tell you something, Jesse. You just touched my brother was just diagnosed with cancer. So you just touched upon that. And for you, I appreciate you saying that and how much you're there to support people. So thank you for your kind words. You didn't even know it, but you touched me just then by saying what you said. So thank you.
If there's ever,
that's my brother carrying you.
Right on.
If there's ever a...
Go ahead, Kyle.
I was just saying, if there's ever a testament about about how much you value the people that come to see you and the fans and everything, Kevin and I, knew it from day one.
Day one.
Day one.
Yeah.
And Jacob.
And Jacob. Yeah, man. It's like it must have been, like Kevin said earlier, what, only a couple months into it, and we got the opportunity to come back and say hi to you. And you welcomed our friendship within probably 5 seconds, if not less. Mm-hmm. And we've loved you ever since. You're, mm-hmm. you are an incredible talent, but also mm-hmm. an incredible person.
Yes.
So.
Thanks. Yeah,
with a direct impact on so many people's lives, mm-hmm, yeah. including ours.
Wow.
Just in your words that you say, man. Yeah. Just the words you say have touched so many people. You know, and the fact you're willing to meet the people and say hello, and that means a lot to people to be able to do that. So thank you for that.
It's right on time, because I'm thinking about how, you know, being someone of faith and integrity and morality is not something that's really shown in this kind of business and show business. Mm-hmm. Like you were touching on Cat Williams, he's kind of showing how immoral a lot of these things are. So to have someone with that kind of presence, that kind of sincerity and genuineness is exactly what we need to see, because I feel like a lot of people are losing faith in that idea.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you were so nice to me, even though in your words, I was a huge nerd.
That's funny. Yeah. Well, I'm going to say this, because in my mind, you guys got it twisted, you know. In my mind, I was looking at three nerdy music historians that knew their stuff. You guys know what's what in music. And here you are paying attention to the new guy. And this, I just got here. I hadn't proven myself worthy of anything. It meant y'all were tripping because I was nice to the three of you. No, I was tripping because there were three guys that were such fans and wanted to hang, you know, with Jesse Peck. You know, you have no idea how much you guys, you know, pumped me up that mm-hmm. first night. I still remember the mm-hmm. picture that we took. Still have the pic, that photo. Y'all,
so do I.
Mm-hmm. That we took backstage. Mm-hmm. It's posted on my Facebook. Mm-hmm. But y'all always remain cool. And I just thought, man, this is great that people can think, you know, this highly of you, while at the same time, you can't get too high. You gotta, mm-hmm. you have mm-hmm. to be able to keep yourself humble, you mm-hmm. know, and not, mm-hmm. not believe your own hype, mm-hmm. and remember that you're blessed, mm-hmm. To be doing what you're doing. So, I have to remember to thank God, you know, I thank him that I can stop and speak to someone, or take a picture with them or sign an autograph. Here, give this to your mom. Tell her we hope she gets well soon, gets mm-hmm. out of the hospital, and mm-hmm. it makes a difference to them. That's a blessing. Mm-hmm. That's a blessing when God gives you, when God gives that to you.
Yeah.
And it's not because of Jesse Peck. It's because Jesse Peck was put in a position where he joined something, became part of a great entity. And now he can take his friendliness, you know, and he wishes the world was full of friendly people. Well, now because of what you do, you'll meet more friendly people, but the world will never be, you know, and that's just from a biblical standpoint. Mm-hmm. But I get to encounter more of the positive people and the people who are in need. And I get to say and do things through prayer, through God, that, you know, will make a difference in someone's life, or at least make a difference in their day.
Mm-hmm.
And if everybody would do that, man, come on.
We appreciate you coming on the show here today, Jesse, and sharing this information, just talking about life, really. I mean, that was just good just to talk. Sit down and talk. Like Purvis said, just sit down and talk. And that's what right I did today, man.
Shout out to my boy. Shout out to Ronnie Moss. Mm-hmm. Shout out to CJ Jefferson.
Absolutely.
Shout out to Marvin Taylor. Mm-hmm. Shout out to legendary Henry Fambro.
Mm-hmm.
And I love you guys. And I'll see you all in a few. We're heading to, I know, Cincinnati, Ohio. We got some dates. Well, we got tons of dates coming up. And I'm looking forward to each and every one of them. Gary, Indiana, followed by Cincinnati, Ohio. Mm. And we're performing with the Commodores once again. Wow. Love performing with those guys. Awesome. And they give an awesome show too. So if you're in the area, make sure you come on out and see us. Have a great time. Mm-hmm. And I hope you'll always remember, I'm Jesse Peck.
Well, thanks again, Jesse. And thanks again to my co-host, Julian Seward. Thank you, Julian.
It's a pleasure meeting you.
Kyle Mack.
Yeah, man. And you, Julian. Thank you, brother.
Kevin White.
Hey, Jesse.
Yeah. Hey,
love you, brother.
I love you, man.
One more time, let's give it up for Jesse Peck of the Spinners.
Right, thanks, man. Appreciate you, brothers. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Absolutely.